Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to live in a free land, America, here in the valley especially, Lord. What a wonderful place it is that you've given us to live. We're thankful, Lord, for your word that leads us, guides us, and directs us. Lord, it teaches us what it is that you want us to know. We have no excuse for not being able to know your will, Father, for our lives. Opening the Bible, reading it, studying it, making an application, Lord, we can know your will for each of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for that. Help us this morning, Father, to have a desire in our heart. Give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. For you've told us, they that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. And Lord, we can look with anticipation for that filling of our hunger for both righteousness and truth. Lord, help us this morning. Speak to our hearts, challenge us, and change us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in Proverbs chapter 20. I'm going through a series, Biblical Principles for Practical Living. I'm concentrating on the book of Proverbs, but obviously the book of Proverbs is not the only book in the Bible that has principles, but it is the one that I'm focusing in on. We are in chapter 20, verse 1. The Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. As I look at this verse and I think about it, I can't help but to have some degree of sadness in my heart, knowing that there are many churches, and unfortunately some who call themselves independent Baptist churches, who have begun to sanction or allow social drinking. And I would say shame on you. Just shame on you. I think that's a wrong path to be heading down. I think that's horrible advice or counsel you should be or you could be giving somebody. Horrible advice. The Bible says wine is a mocker, makes fun, laughs, it brings scorn. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I believe it was Matthew Henry that said this, when the wine is in, the wit is out. And then the man, according to his natural temper, either mocks like a fool or rages like a madman. Most of us, I'm sure, either have people in our families or we've known people or seen people who were drunk and got involved in alcohol and got a hold of them. And sometimes, in it, depending on their personality, they became very funny, if you would. They began to be very giddy and happy-go-lucky, silly, mockery, or they became enraged with anger and certainly not acting like themselves. And we know stories, all of us, of where some young child or several children have grown up in the home of an alcoholic and have had to withstand the physical abuse, the mental abuse, and just the lack of just the regular needs of life because their father or sometimes their mother has basically drank their family into poverty and misery. It is a horrible, horrible thing to get involved in. The book of Proverbs 23, chapter 29 through 34, verses 29 through 35 says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Boy, I tell you what, you look at those questions. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 questions. Those questions in and of themselves, boy, ought to just grab your attention and make you realize, you know, whatever comes after this is pretty important. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contention? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? And then the question is answered, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. And I personally believe that's talking about the intoxicating factor of alcohol. The fruit of the wine or the vine would, as often people call it wine, it's called wine in the Bible, but I do not believe it is an intoxicating beverage. I believe it's just a fruit of the vine. But when it begins to move itself, it's become intoxicating. The Bible says, look not thou upon it when it does that. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? And I will seek it yet again. And how that describes for us the person who's given to alcohol, it brings misery and woe and heartache and burden. And yet we see them as if they've been snagged by a fish hook in the lip and just dragging them back to it over and over and over again. Many of us know people's marriages and homes that have been broken up, and one of the big culprits is alcohol and the use thereof. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. And he goes on to say, shall inherit the kingdom of God. None of those shall. Drunkenness. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness. And it goes on from there. You know, it amazes me how some pastor could stand in a pulpit and advocate to his people social drinking is okay. You know, common sense tells you no man ever got drunk who didn't take the first sip of an alcohol beverage. You don't take the first sip, you'll never end up being drunk. And you begin to advocate it's okay to have a little bit. And that person ends up, and they get involved in it, and they get more and more. And human nature is what it is. The person ends up in drunkenness. Boy, somebody stood there and advocated that. Woe be unto them. The Bible says that's the work of the flesh. How could anybody who's got his mind in the right place advocate, suggest, recommend, condone an activity that leads, or if you would, is an indication of a work of the flesh? It's beyond me. The Bible says that teaches us there's some in our Bible that whose lives were ruined or destruction was brought to their life. We think of Noah, how that he'd gotten drunk, and Ham saw his father's nakedness. And then Shem and Japheth, they took the garment, laid it on their shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of the father. But Ham had seen, and we know the tragedy that was. We read in our Bibles in Genesis 19 of Lot, who after having escaped God's judgment, his daughters, they conclude that, you know, boy, tell you what, we're going to not have any children. And so they get their father drunk, and both of them are impregnated by their father because he's in a drunken stupor and doesn't know what he's doing. He's out of his mind. Certainly not something to advocate. Certainly not something to applaud. Something that's grievous. Something that's a mockery of the family unit. We read in our Bibles in 1 Samuel about Abigail and Nabal and how that Nabal was just a drunken man. And David was after him, and had Abigail not stepped in, he'd have been destroyed by David. But he gets drunk, and Abigail talks to him, and he doesn't even have a clue what's going on. He's so drunk. Certainly it's not something that a Christian should act like, or anyone else for that matter. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 11 where David calls back Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, and he gets him drunk, or makes the accommodations to get him drunk, thinking that he'll forget what he's doing and he'll hide David's sin. That didn't work. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 13 where Absalom commanded his servants, talking of Amnon's, he said, when his heart is merry with wine, smite him. In other words, when he's drunken out of his mind, he can't think and reason, smite him, kill him. We can read through the Bible over and over. This practice of alcohol consumption, the Bible says it's a mockery. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I would strongly encourage everyone who's listening today Never put the bottle to your lip. Never take a sip. And when those who would like to stand behind the pulpit or a Sunday school class podium and tell you it's okay, boy, your suspicion ought to go up, and you ought to go back to the Bible and say, why would somebody try to encourage me to participate in something that the Bible says, if I do, I'm deceived thereby, and I'm not wise? Why would I be encouraged to do something that prompts the questions, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness with eyes? Those that tarry long at the wine. Why would anybody do that? I think they're making a mistake, a grievous mistake. And from my perspective and the way I think you ought to, I think you ought to be a teetotaler. Absolutely, under no circumstances should you consume alcohol for any reason. And I think you'll be safer for that. You'll be better off having followed the biblical advice. Look not upon it when it moveth itself aright. Don't even look at it, much less consume it. And I think we would be the wiser to do that. I think it's good advice. That's a good biblical principle for practical living. You know, a lot of families out there, a lot of people's lives have been ruined by this thing called alcohol. And I trust that you'll not let it happen to you. May God deliver you from that and give you victory if you're fighting with that. Let's move over to verse number 3. The Bible says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is of hasty of spirit exalteth folly. That verse is there again found in Proverbs 16:32, the same exact words. Slow to wrath, that person is of great understanding. You know, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. What God is teaching us here, I think, is simply this. You know, you need to learn to put the brakes on when strife, anger, wrath begins to boil up. You need to be the person who can say, that's it, we're done, finished, over, and not push the subject, not push the button, just leave it alone. The Bible says the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water, therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. The Bible says in chapter 19, verse 11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Proverbs 25:8-10, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thy infamy turn not away. Proverbs 14:17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Notice that, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. I've heard people all of my life seemingly say, well, I've just got a quick temper and you just have to learn to deal with it. As if they're proud of it. As if it's something to be praised and to be applauded almost. And yet the Bible says, he that is soon angry deals foolishly. I don't want to deal foolishly. I don't want to live that way. I trust you don't either. The Bible says a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. In other words, he just can't control his tongues. He just can't keep his mouth shut. Proverbs 18:6. And Proverbs 21:24, proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. Proud wrath. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You know, the Bible has much more to say about this subject, this idea about anger, strife, being confrontational. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. Are you a person this morning who's given to a quick temper? If you are, may you allow God to help you to realize that's not a wise way to live. That's certainly not following a biblical principle. Just the opposite would be the true. May God help us to learn. We all have the ability to be angry. But the Bible says be angry and sin not. God's not against anger in and of itself. He's against the wrong kind of anger. And may God help us to have discernment and practice righteous indignation and shun the fleshly and the worldly indignation. May God help us to take these two principles, consider them this morning. Are these two areas in your life that you could work on? Are these two areas that you need some instruction on, God's help on? If so, may God help you. May God help you be victorious. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.